All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Samech Tes 69. We're actually going to pick up on the Mishnah on Samech Tes Amud Aleph. Our shiur this morning is dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Elman in the Zuchus, or in the merit of the yard site of Linda's father, Mr. G. Leonard Rubin, on the occasion of his 22nd yard site, Gershon Lippa Ben Leiba Zriel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah's Nisham will have an aliyah and the family in a chama. Shkoyach, and thank you for the sponsorship. And the breakfast as well, the shir, and the breakfast, and also, by the way, the shir, is sponsored by the Elman family. Yashikach, Shamashav, and Aliyah, the family in the Chama. Thank you. And we'll say our shir this month is sponsored by Paul and Kathy Pollack, in memory of Solon Floret, Pollack, Sarah Bas Avram, and Shmuel Ben Zacharyo. May their neshamas have an aliyah and the family a nechama. So we'll say with that, let's begin with the Mishnah, Samech Tes 69a. So the Mishnah says as follows. So we have a fascinating Mishnah today, a fascinating sugya, which actually will have potentially many, many halacha lemaisa ramifications. So the Mishnah says as follows. Ovid kochavim shahaya ma'avir im yisrael kadeyayin mimakum lemakum. So also we have the following situation. We have an akum who is helping a Jew transport barrels of wine from one location to another. Now Rashi points out, before we get to Rashi, so the shaila of course is, does the akum have some type of impact on the wine or not? That's the fundamental question. Does the akum somehow fundamentally impact the wine by transporting it together with the Yisrael? So the Mishnah says it depends. Im haye becheskas mishtamer, mutter. So we'll say, if ultimately, again, the wine is a chazaka, cheskas mishtamer literally means as a chazaka of being guarded. So we'll see what that means in just a moment. Mutter, then the wine is permitted. So we'll say, what does this mean, cheskas mishtamer? Take a look at Rashi. First Rashi in the Mishnah. Im haye becheskas hamishtamer, mefarish begimar, sha'afapi shehiflig yisom in ha'ovid kochavim mil, im lo hodio shehu maflig mutter, demirsis Ovid kochavim kol shaita hashta asi. So what we're going to see is as follows. If essentially, again, the akum is concerned that the Yisrael could show up at any moment, then the wine, quote-unquote, is becheskas mishtamer. The wine is guarded, and we are not concerned that the akum is going to... Let me take a step back. What are we concerned about in this particular situation? What we're concerned about is an akum having access to the wine. Is the akum going to touch the wine or not? So essentially what the Mishnah says is as follows. If the wine is what we call becheskas mishtamer, which means that the akum, the Yisrael, is present, the akum is concerned that the Yisrael could appear at any particular point in time, therefore the akum will be reticent to do anything with the wine. As such, the wine is absolutely permitted. However, im hodia shumaflik, but if the Yisrael tells the akum, listen, I'm going to be going away for a little bit. In other words, I'm separating from you for a little bit. So then, the Gemara says, "Kedei sheyishtom v'yistom v'yigov." So if the Yisrael is away long enough, for what? They both say these words literally mean for the Akum to go ahead and make a hole in the lid, fill the hole back up, and allow the hole to dry. Then ultimately, again, the wine will be aser. So we'll say, so these are the two cases. If the Yisrael leaves the Akum in a way where the Akum doesn't know if the Yisrael is going to reappear at any particular moment, then the wine, the Mishnah says, is becheskas mishtamer. The wine is fine. And Rashi already points out there's this concept of mirsis. We'll say mirsis means that the Akum is fearful. What is he fearful of? That the Yisrael is going to appear without any given notice. If, however, the Jew tells the Akum, listen, I'm going to be away for a little bit, and he's away long enough for the Akum to have pierced the lid, taken the wine, refilled the lid, the piercing in the lid, and allow the filler to dry. Because we'll discuss this more in the Gemara. Then halacha lemaisa, the wine is problematic. Look at Rashi. She'iro b'chdei she'yishtom v'yistom v'yigov, imshah k'dei she'yikov ha'ovikochavim nekev v'mogov ha'sachavis. If the Yisrael is long enough, for the Akum to pierce a hole in the lid of the barrel, v'yachzer v'yistom hanekev, and again, there's enough time for the Akum to go ahead and what? Refill the hole in the lid. V'tia v'ish hastima aser. And above said, not only that, but there's enough time for what? For the filler to ultimately dry up. Because again, we'll discuss this in the Gemara just a bit more. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, that's the opinion of the Rabbanon. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Kidei sheyiftach es hachavis v'yigov v'tigov. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no. It has to be enough time for the Akum to remove the lid in its entirety, take wine, go ahead and put the lid back on. And I was saying, now remember, when you had barrels of wine, what you would do is the lid just wouldn't sit. Obviously, the lid has to be firmly secured. So they would secure the lid with either plaster or a rim of clay. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, look at Rashi, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Eino Nesar, so Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if the Akum is going to take from the wine, he's not going to pierce a hole in the lid. Instead, what he's going to do is what? He's going to remove the lid in its entirety, take the wine, and then reseal the lid back on. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that's the shirk. So the idea over here is, they're having a machlokes. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if an Akum is going to take the wine, he's not going to pierce a hole in the lid. Why? As we're going to see, piercing a little bit is problematic on a variety of levels. First of all, you run the risk of cracking the lid. First of all, Rav Shimon Gamliel's model, it's much more easier to detect lid penetration, right? In a situation where you're cracking a hole in the lid, we're going to see, because the filler might not dry evenly with the rest of the lid. This Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we only have to be choshesh if the Yisrael is away long enough for the Akum to have actively popped open the lid and then resealed the lid after. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, their machlokes is not in principle. In other words, they agree on the principle. And the principle is that if the Yisrael tells the Akum, or I should say differently, if the Yisrael ultimately doesn't tell the Akum that he's leaving, right? And so the Akum therefore has a mirror cyst. The Akum is scared that the Yisrael could pop in at any time. Then we are not concerned about the wine. We're not concerned that the Akum is going to try to drink from the wine. Because remember, again, we're working under the assumption that the Akum is only going to play around with the wine of the Yisrael if what? If he feels that he could do so undetected. But if there's the possibility that the Yisrael ultimately could just show back up at any point in time, then the Akum is not going to go ahead and do anything with the wine. It's not going to do anything with the wine. Therefore, again, however, if the Yisrael tells the Akum, I'm going, so then if the Yisrael is away long enough for the Akum to go ahead and do something with the wine and be able to go ahead and cover up his tracks, then what? We are concerned about the wine. So the only machlokus of Yitri Rosh Hashanah Gamliel and the Rabbanon is how long does the Yisrael have to be gone for? According to the Rabbanon, long enough for the Akum to pierce a hole in the lid, take the wine, repair the hole and allow the filler to dry. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, enough time to pop off the lid, get the contents of the wine and replace the lid and reseal the lid afterwards. Fine. So says the Gemara. We'll say next case. Hameniach yayin bekarna besvina. If a Yisrael, we'll say he's all dealing with Jews' wine. If a Yisrael goes in and places his wine on a karn, we'll say karn is a wagon or a svina or a boat. V'halachlo. And the Yisrael goes ahead and leaves Bekapandaria. Bekapandria is the right pronunciation. Bekapandria. So we'll say, what's the case over here? Look at Rashi. Haminiach yeino. Haminiach yeino bekarna besvina ima ovi kochavim. So we'll say, in this case over here, I, the Jew, am placing my wine in the boat or in the wagon of an Akum. Same case, he's transporting my wine, I'm placing it in a boat or in a wagon. So we'll say, what happens? Vahalach Rashi says, Yisrael bekapandria derech kitzara. So what happens? I deposit my wine with the Akum, and I will say, I leave. I'm not there. Bekanji means I go ahead and I go off on my own for a little bit. So I'll say, so what's the status of the wine? Nichnas lemedina, right? The backstage is a vin nichnas lemedina, verachatz. So I'll say, then what happens? So I go ahead and I go into the city and I go to use the bathhouse. So what's that, lacha? Mutter. My wine is mutter. But what does this mean? What this means is as follows. Look at Rashi. Vin nichnas lemedina, verachatz. Bemerchatz. Mutter, kevan do avikucham lo yada deshai mirsach v'lo naga. So we'll say the case over here is really the same case as before, which is I'm depositing my wine with the Akum. I'm going to placing it on the boat or on the wagon. And what happens? I leave. I will say, now what's happening in this case? I leave, but what don't I do? I don't tell the Akum where I'm going or what I'm doing. So we'll say this becomes the principle. Wherever I take leave of the Akum, but I don't tell him where I'm going or what I'm doing. And in his mind, there's the possibility that what? that I'm just going to reappear at any moment, then the Akum is going to be too scared to go ahead and try to partake of my wine. So in this case over here, even though I'm going to the bathhouse, right, I'm going ahead and Lemaisa, I'm going to be taking my time away because the Akum doesn't know how long I'm going to be away for. Therefore, Halacha Lemaisa, the wine is permitted. Mutter, im hodiu shumaflik. But ultimately, again, if I tell the Akum that, listen, I'm going to be away for a while, then what? Then I will say, something as you said before. Then if I'm long enough, if I'm away long enough for the Akum to go ahead and have access to the wine and cover up his tracks, then the wine will be usser. How long is long enough? This is the Machlokes Rabbanan and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Kadesh sheyishtom v'yistom v'yigov. So we'll say, the Rabbanan say, if I'm away long enough for him to pierce a hole in the cover of the barrel, then take the wine, refill that hole, and allow the filler to dry. The or of Shimon Gamliel says, Kadesh sheyiftach hasachavis v'yigov v'tigov. Or what's Rav Shimon Gamliel? Enough time to pop open the lid of the barrel. Enough time to pop open the lid of the barrel and to go ahead and take the wine and then put the lid back on and reseal the lid, then halacha lemaaseh, again, the wine will be problematic. So we'll say this case is seemingly the same thing as the previous case. Just again, the only variation of Bosei is that in the previous case, I'm working with the Akum. In this case, I'm loading my barrels onto the wagon or onto the boat of the Akum. Bosei, same idea. If I take leave of the Akum, but I don't tell him that I'm going to be gone for any significant amount of time, then we assume that the Akum is going to be too scared to do anything with my wine. Why? Because he doesn't know when I'm going to reappear. If I tell him that I'm going to be gone for a while, Rabosai, then indeed if I am gone for a while, that's problematic. How long is a while? That's machlokis between the Rabbanon and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Good. Rabosai, next case. Hameniach oved kochavim bechonos. Rabosai, what's this case? I'm leaving the Ovid Kochavim in my store. So I have a store filled with wine. I leave the Ovid Kochavim in my store. So we'll say, so what's talacha? Afapi shiyatz v'nichnas mutter. We'll say, so again, even though I'm not there the entire time, I'm coming in and out, so the wine is going to be mutter. We'll say, same idea. Why is the wine mutter? Because since I'm not telling the Akum that I'm going to be gone for any significant amount of time, the Akum is going to be scared to do anything with my wine for fear that I may reappear without notice. Vimhodio shumaflik, but same thing. If I tell the Akum I'm going to be gone for a while, then what? So we'll say, so then the wine is asr. So how long is a while? So again, machlokes Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon. Kadesh yishtom v'yistom v'yigov. So we'll say, the Rabbanon say, if I'm gone long enough for the Akum to pierce a hole in the lid of the barrel, take the wine, and then refill the opening in the lid, and allow it to dry, then I will say the wine will be usher. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Kidei sheyiftach esachavis v'yigov v'tigov." Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's enough time to go ahead and pop open the lid, take the wine, put the lid back on, and reseal the lid around it. Next case. Hayo'ochel imo ala shulchan. So we'll say, so remember, these are always, the Gemara is going to ask why we need all the cases, because remember, all of them seem to be operating with the same basic principles. Hayo'ochel imo ala shulchan. We'll say another interesting case. I'm eating together with an Akum at the same table. So we'll say, in this case over here, literally we're sharing a meal together. He is in my home. The Akum's in my home where we're eating together. V'yiniach leginin ala shulchan. And I will say, I left a flask of wine on the table itself. And what happens? V'login ala dulbiki. And there are also additional flasks of wine. Dulbiki, I will say, literally in the cupboard. Right? So there's a flask of wine or flasks of wine on the table and flasks of wine in the cupboard. So I'll say, so now what happens? V'nicho v'yatza. And now I leave the Akum at my table and I leave the house. So I'll say, the obvious shayla is, what is the status of the wine? So it says the Mishnah, Masha al hashulchan aser. So we'll say whatever is on the table is going to be aser. Shaladul biki mutter. But whatever is in the cupboard will be mutter. So we'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. Masha al hashulchan aser. The meimar amr ovei kochavim zei yisal zemamani lecho v'lishtos v'naga. So we'll say this is a very logical idea. So the Mishnah says the wine on the table is going to be aser. Why is the wine on the table? Because we're always remembering, what's the case over here? I'm inviting the Akum into my home. I'm inviting him to share a meal. Therefore, the Akum figures, if the Yisrael is inviting me to share a meal, then what? Then I have access ultimately to whatever is on the table. And therefore, the wine on the table will be usher. However, Shaladulbiki, but the wine in the cupboard will be mutter. Rashi says, why is that? Shaladulbiki mutter. De'emucham l'su'udazu. So we'll say the assumption is that the Akum is only going to touch what? That which is part of his current Suda for which he has been invited. But additional wines, which are not part of the Suda, we don't assume he's going to go ahead and start touching it. So therefore, again, the wine on the table will be usur. The wine in the cupboard, I'm not choshish that the Akum is going to start touching the wine inside the cupboard itself. And therefore, again, halacha l'maaseh, that wine remains permitted. However, Vimamarlo, having mosaic vishosa, the Bosai. Now this case is a little bit different. You see, up until now, Bosai, what we have said is as follows. In all the cases, whether the Akum is helping me move barrels from one place to another, or I'm giving the wine to be transported to an Akum, I'm giving it to his boat, or ultimately again to his wagon, or again the Akum is in my store. So Bosai, in all of these cases, we hinged everything on whether or not the Akum thinks I'm going to be gone for a long period of time or not. Bosai, this case is a little bit different, because in this case, I'm actively inviting the Akum to join me, right? I'm actively inviting him to join me for the Suda. So what the Mishnah says is as follows. If I go ahead and I leave, so the wine on the table is going to be usur, but the wine in the cupboard is going to be mutter. Logic being, well, there's a very logical assumption. The Akum knows he's invited for the meal. When you invite someone for a meal, Bosai, then what are you giving them access to? What are you giving them access to? Whatever's on the table. Therefore, the wine on the table is going to be usur, but again, the Akum is not going to make himself at home and go ahead and start taking the wine from the cupboard. However, Bosai, however, if I say to him, Amar lo, having mozik v'shosa, but if I tell the Akum, I'm going out, make yourself at home, enjoy the wine. So we'll say, the moment I tell him, enjoy the wine, right, Rashi says him, Amar lo, having mozik v'shosa, hoil v'chizik es yadav v'rishus b'miktas, samcha daite v'naga b'kule. We'll say, this is a very profound statement. Human nature is, when you tell people, when you give people a little, so by definition, they generally take a lot. Right? So therefore, again, if I actively say to the Akum, make yourself at home, enjoy the wine, the Akum is not going to stop at enjoying the wine on the table. He's going to figure, if the Yisrael told me to make myself at home and enjoy the wine, then what? I'm going to enjoy the wine. What does the wine include? The wine includes the wine on the table, as well as the wine in the cupboard. Therefore, what Rabbi say? In that case, I want to be clear. This case is a stronger case. This is not just where I'm inviting him for a meal. This is where I'm actively, see, I've made over here a declarative statement that what? I'm telling him, Havi Mozik Vishosa. Havi Mozik Vishosa is an active invitation to enjoy the wine. In those circumstances, I have to be concerned that the Akum is going to enjoy the wine on the table, as well as the wine in the cupboard itself. Therefore what? Therefore, Aloha Lamaisa, all of the wine becomes Aser. Af Aladulbiki Aser. Next, we'll say, so now the question becomes, what does that mean, all of the wine is usur? So same question, chavios psuchos asuros stumos mutaros. We'll say, even in that case, what does this refer to? This refers ultimately, again, to the open barrels, but not to the closed barrels. So all the open barrels in the house ultimately will be usur, but the closed barrels will be mutar. Rashi says, chavios psuchos, shebabayis asuros, stumos mutaros. So we'll say, now listen to this. But even the closed barrels, Rabosai, the closed barrels are mutar when? Kedei sheyiftach, fiyoguf, vesiguf. So we'll say, interestingly enough, so the Mishnah seems to say, even the closed barrels will only be mutar, assuming that the Yisrael was not gone long enough for the Akum to have opened up the lid, taken wine, closed it back up, and resealed it. So we'll say, so this case, this last case, is actually exceptionally dramatic. Now, by the way, you'll notice over here in this last case, the Mishnah does not record a machlokus etim the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So we'll discuss that. I mean, this could be more tomorrow's daf, but we'll discuss that. So look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, stumos mutaros, ad sheyisha, sheyiftach v'yigov v'yaguf, So in this last case as follows. In this last case, what the Mishnah says is like this. Say if I go ahead, I have the Akum in my home. I have the Akum in my home. Say if I go ahead, we're having a meal together. If I leave the house, Rabosai, then what? Then what's the halacha? The wine on the table is asur, but the wine in the cupboard is mutter. If I leave and I tell the Akum, Akum, make yourself at home, pour yourself some wine, then what? The wine on the table is asur. The wine in the cupboard is usur, and what? any open barrel is going to be usur as well, out of concern that the Akum Mamish took me up on my offer and made himself at home and partook of the wine. However, again, closed barrels will be mutter. But even closed barrels, they're only going to be mutter, assuming what? That the Yisrael is not gone for a prolonged period of time. What's the definition of a prolonged period of time, Abosai? Enough time to crack open the lids, take the wine, and reseal the lids. Now, Abosai, enough time that the Akum couldn't take the wine and cover his tracks. But if the Yisrael is going to be, he's gone for less than that amount of time, then remember, still the wine on the table, the wine in the cupboard, and any open barrels will be usur. But any closed barrels, ultimately, again, will remain mutter. Good. So bottom line, the take-home message from the Mishnah is as follows. That whenever a Yisrael leaves an Akum with his wine, so if Yisrael leaves in a way where he essentially does not tell the Akum he's going to be gone, and so the Akum has to be choshesh that the Yisrael could pop in at any moment, Rashi's introduced us to the concept of mirsis. Mirsis means that the Akum is scared of being discovered, of having engaged in any wrongdoing, and therefore we assume that what? So we'll say, klal gadol life is, people really only do something wrong if what? If they're not going to get discovered. This is not a Jew-Gentile thing, this is a humanity thing. So in general, again, I will go ahead and do something wrong as long as I'm assuming I won't be, if I'm going to be discovered, generally I'm not going to do it. I mean, unless it's really, really good, right? Or, you know, unless the sin ROI is, you know, unless the return on investment is excellent, then the mice, I'll do it. But Cloud Godel is a person who's not going to do something if there's a high probability that they're going to do something. So, by the way, this is a very important principle for us. Why? We employ this principle all of the time. Where do we apply it? We'll say kashrus, right? This is the operative principle in kashrus. That's why, again, even when you have a food establishment, there's a mashkiach. Does the mashkiach see what every single Gentile employee is doing at every single moment? The answer is no. But the assumption is that if he's what's called the yotzei v'nichnas, if the mashkiach is constantly coming and going, and the akum does not know when the mashkiach is coming in or going out, then the ma'aseh and what? There's enough of what we call a mirsus. There's a fear. No one's going to do something without being, for the potential of being discovered. We'll say that's the operative principle here in the Mishnah. Therefore, if the Akum is handling the wine of the Jew, and the Jew steps out, but the Akum has absolutely no idea when the Jew is coming back, then we assume that ultimately, again, the Jew is not going to tamper with the wine. However, if the Jew tells the Akum, I'm going to be gone for a while, then what I will say, then ultimately we have to be concerned that the Akum is going to tamper with the wine. The question becomes, what's the definition of for a while? What's the definition there? That's the machlokes that Rabbanan and Shem Gamliel. The Rabbanan say it's enough time for the Akum to puncture a hole in the lid, get the wine out, reseal the puncture, and allow the sealant, is that the right word? Allow the sealant, right? Allow the sealant to dry. Because we'll say, obviously, to dry, why is it important for it to dry? Because then ultimately it looks the same as the rest of the litter. Shimon Gamliel says, no, an Akum is not going to do that. We'll discuss why that is. Rather, it's enough time to pop open the lid, take the wine, and go ahead and reseal the lid on it. Good. Says the Mishnah. So we'll say, we're now referencing the first case in the Mishnah. So the first case we'll say in the Mishnah is that an Akum who is moving the barrels of wine of a Jew together with the Jew. So the Mishnah said, if the wine, quote unquote, is guarded by the Jew, then the wine is mutter. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, what does that mean? What does that statement mean? Kidisanyo. Because I'll tell you what it means. Like, look at the following braisa. Harishayu chamara v'pol of tunin taros. Well, so listen to this. The Gemara quotes a braisa, which has nothing to do with yayin, but everything to do with taros. Well, so listen to this. My donkey drivers and my workers, tunin taros. We'll say, I am transporting taros. I am transporting produce, which was prepared in a state of ritual purity, and my goal is to maintain that state even with the transport of the item. So what's the halacha? Afilu hiflig mehen yoser mimio. Even if I, the Yisrael, take leave of them, and I'm gone. We'll say, you know, very often the way halacha measures time is the amount of time that it takes to traverse a particular distance. So even if I'm gone for longer than the amount of time that it would take to walk a mill, then what's the halacha? Tarosav tohoros. Then ultimately, again, my ritually pure items are still pure. Well, so in other words, what it's saying is as follows. I'm transporting ritually pure produce, and I instruct my workers to maintain the purity of the produce.
Even now, obviously, if I'm there the entire time watching over them like a hawk, so obviously he's going to remain tar. The chiddush over here is that even though I take leave of them, we can still assume that the taros are tahar. We'll discuss why. But if I say to the worker, listen, you guys go ahead. You're right, travel ahead of me. I'm going to catch up with you afterwards. Then what? Then the Gemara says, V'kevan shenis alma eino mehem taharos av temeos. I will say, once they are no longer in ocular sight, right? Once I can no longer see them, then what? Then the halacha is I have to assume that the taros are now tamei. So says the Gemara, Maishna Resho Maishna Seifa. So let's analyze this. Why is it, Rabosai, in the first part of this brisa, or obviously, even though ultimately, again, I am not with them every single moment, right? Because remember, in both of these cases, what's happening over here? In both of these cases, I am taking leave of the workers, right? Remember again, what did the Resha say? I have my produce, which was prepared in a state of ritual purity. I give it over to my workers. I say, guys, this needs to remain tahar. So what does the Resha says? That even afilu hiflig man, even if I take leave of them, we could assume that the produce is still tahar. Yet in the sefer Abosai, if I say to them, you guys go ahead, I'll catch up with you afterwards, we assume ultimately that the taros are now tame. Maishna reisha, maishna sefa, to which the Gemara says, Amrav Yitzchak, reisha b'metayr chamarav upalav. Lekach, I will say, the reisha is talking about a case where literally I purified the workers. That's the case. I purified the workers, right? I made the workers done. They had to go to the mikvah, right? I made them go. So therefore, again, because I prepared them in a state of ritual purity, therefore the produce remains pure. Ihachi, seifanami. I don't understand. If that's the case, that you're being metaher the workers, then what? Then the maisi, even in the seifar, I will say, even in the second part of the braisa, so the produce should also remain tar, to which the Gemara says, no, no, no. The Gemara says, ihachi, seifanami. The safest problematic, why? Because we're concerned that what? The Amaretz is going to let his friends touch the produce. Right? Because an Amaretz is not careful with the maga of someone else. So if that's the case, afilu reishon amihachi. If that's the case, that we're concerned that the Amaretz is going to let his friends touch the produce, then Abosai what? Then the Reisha should also be problematic. So what's the case, Abosai? Why is it that in the Reisha, we can assume the produce is still Tahar, yet in the Seifa we can't? Amarava, Rava says, I'll tell you what the issue is. Abosai, Amud Beis, Amarava, Beva Lahem Derek Akalson. Abosai, what's the issue? Look at Rashi. Beva Lahem Derek Akalson. Rashi says, Tap Rashi, Samech Tes Amud Beis. Kishabalabayis Yocholovo Derech Akalson Demirsas Hashta Has Asi. Bosa, in case number one in the Resha, even though the Yisrael is taking leave of the Akum right now, but nevertheless what happens? He's talking about his Bosa, Derech Akalson literally means a roundabout or circuitous route, which Bosa means that the Yisrael has the ability to appear without any prior notice. The Reisha is a case where even though the Yisrael is taking leave of the Akum, who is handling his taros, the Yisrael could appear at any given moment without the Akum knowing. In that case, then what? Then Allah Lamaisa, we know that the Akum is going to be concerned to play around with the produce because the Yisrael could go ahead and appear without notice. Ihachi is safe anami. I don't understand if that's the case, Rabosai. Then why doesn't that apply? Rabosai, so why doesn't that apply in the Seifa as well? To which the Gemara says, Kevan da'amar lahem luchu vani ba'acharechem. Because Rabosai, the case of the Seifa is different. In the case of the Seifa, the Yisrael is telling the Akum, luchu vani ba'acharechem. Rabosai, what does that mean? Go, and I'll follow, and I'll come to you afterwards. Rabosai, what does that tell us? What does that tell the Akum? It tells the Akum that the Yisrael is going to be gone for some significant amount of time. Once the Akum knows that the Yisrael is going to be gone for some significant amount of time, there's no mirsus, there's no fear about the sudden appearance of the Yisrael, and therefore we must be concerned that the Akum will take liberties with the produce. So therefore again, herein lies the distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa by Taros, which becomes the chilik ultimately in our Mishnah as well. So bottom line, what comes out? So what comes out is like this. When the Yisrael takes leave of the Akum, and the Akum knows the Yisrael is not here, but the Akum is fearful, there's a mirsos, that the Yisrael could reappear without any prior notice, then what? Then what? Then halacha lemaisa, again, we assume that the akum does not play around with the item. Whatever that item is, whether that item is like in the case of the raisa of taras, or whether it's like in the case of the mishnah like wine, whenever there is the appearance, wherever there's the possibility of the yisrael reappearing without notice, the akum is going to remain on his best behavior, and he's not going to tamper with the product. However, again, when the Yisrael takes leave of the Akum in a way, where again, the Akum knows, or the Akum feels its possibility, the Yisrael is not going to be here for a while, then what? Then in fact, there is a chashash that the Akum will tamper with the product, and therefore the product comes. We'll say, just, you should know, so like I said before, this is the major principle upon which contemporary kashrus operates based on. It's all about the mitzvah. So we'll say, I'll tell you something very interesting, which is why in contemporary kashrus, so there was a major innovation, which was the use of cameras. The use of cameras. That in many circumstances, again, especially on an industrial level, so the use of cameras has the ability to essentially operate as hashgacha to midis. Again, we don't rely on it, or different kashrus agencies utilize this in different ways. And no, it's not about politics, right? But it's about literally, again, how much a human presence versus a virtual presence has the ability to ultimately go ahead and affect hashgacha to midis. But I will say, this is the same principle. The idea is, whenever the Akum knows that there's the Yisrael presence, either actually present, that the Yisrael could appear without any prior notice, we assume the Akum does not tamper with the product. However, when halacha lemaisa, again, the Akum knows that the Yisrael is going to be gone for some significant amount of time, or he knows that the Yisrael is going to be gone some significant amount of time, then halacha lemaisa, again, we are fearful of some type of Akum involvement with the product. So we'll say, so essentially the Gemara proves this principle by Yayin from the case, ultimately, again, of Taros. Good. So we'll say, now we go weiter. So the Gemara says as follows. Two dots, I'll say, Samach Tesam of days. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. ויתר. המניח, או בכוכבים בחנוסו, המניח יין בקרן או בסיר. So we'll say the Bach changes the order. The Gemara for some reason inverted the order of the cases. But now basically what the Gemara is going to ask is a simple fundamental question, which is, we have three cases in the Mishnah, all which seemingly teach us the same principle, right? Case number one is where the Akum is helping the Yisrael to transport barrels of wine. Case number two, Rabosai, is where the Yisrael is going ahead and loading his barrels onto the boat or onto the wagon of an Akum. Case number three is where the Akum is alone in the store of the Yisrael. Case number four, Rabosai, is a little bit of a different case. That's really a little bit different. That's where they're having a meal together, and then the Yisrael goes in and takes sleep. But at least for the first three cases, Rabosai, they are all pretty much the same concept. Concept being, if the Akum does not know when the Yisrael is going to reappear, then what? Then what? The wine is totally mutter. If the Akum knows that the Jew is gone for some amount of time, then what? Then the machlokes of Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon. If the Yisrael is gone long enough for, according to the Rabbanon, pierce a hole in the lid, take the wine, repair the hole, and the sealant to dry, or according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, pop off the lid, take the wine, put the lid back on and reseal the lid, then the wine is going to be usher. So the obvious shaila is, why does the Mishnah feel compelled to say all of these different cases, when all the cases are really illustrating the same exact principle? To which the Gemara says, Utsricham. The truth is, we really need all the cases, and I'll tell you why. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, if it would have just said the first case, Rashi says, we'll say, second line in Rashi, we'll say, if it would have just said the first case, of where the Akum is going ahead and actively transporting the barrels together with the Yisrael. So I would have said, in that case, that's where the Oved Kochavim is really fearful of being discovered by the Yisrael. Why, Rabbi? Say, why? 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 You're going to have to pay for the bagels if you don't answer this question, right? Why, Rabosai? Because at the end of the day, the Akum is actively working with the Yisrael. So if he's working with the Yisrael, Rabosai, that is why halacha lemaisa is a fear of being discovered. Aval bekaron o besvina, eva ima demaflig leilis svina, eva avid mai deboi. Because it will say, but in the case of the boat, where the Maisa, what? Where the Akum could say, listen, the Yisrael's putting the barrels on the boat. I'm going to go do my own thing on the boat. Maybe in that case, it will say, we do have to be concerned that the Akum tempers with the wine, even if the Yisrael has just gone for a very short amount of time. So the Gemara says, literally, say that the Akum will go ahead and get on his boat and do what he wants. So we'll say, so therefore again, that's why I need the case of the boat. The teacher will say that even what? That even in the case of the boat, so the mice, again, it's only if the Yisrael is gone for some significant amount of time. Again, remember, significant is a machlokes etin Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon. V'itana b'karno b'svina. So we're saying, if the Mishnah would have just said the case of the wagon or the boat, mishum desavar dilma asi ba'orcha achrisi v'koi aguda v'chazili. Because we'll say, listen to this. In the case of the wagon or the boat, if the Mishnah would have just said that case, I would have said, that's the case where the Akum is fearful of being discovered, why Rabosai? Because maybe the Yisrael is going to come from a different route. They're literally, v'kai aguda v'chazi means Rabosai. Maybe the Yisrael, aguda literally means stand on a high wall. What it means is, the Akum is concerned that maybe the Yisrael is going to have a different vantage point somewhere around the boat or the wagon, and therefore there's a fear of being discovered. Because there's a fear of being discovered, that's why the Akum doesn't tamper with the wine. Rabosa, if the Akum is in the store of the Yisrael, then what? Ema achid la libava ve'avid koma deboi. If the Akum is inside the store of the Yisrael, Rabosa, then there's the possibility that what? What is he going to do? He'll go in the store and what? He'll lock the door. And once he locks the door, maybe the Akum will do whatever he wants. Kamashmalon means that Rabosai, in all of these cases, we employ the same basic principle, which is, if the Akum does not know how long the Yisrael is going to be gone for, right? So therefore, again, then what? Then the Akum operates with a mirsus. There's a fear that the Yisrael could just appear out of nowhere, right? Jews are everywhere. So the Akum could just, right? The Yisrael could just appear out of nowhere. Is the Yisrael could appear out of nowhere? And therefore, what? The Akum will not tamper with the wine. Again, when the Jew tells the Akum, I'm going to be gone for a while, then Rabbi say, again, we have the Machlokes of Shimon and the Rabban about how long the while is, but under those circumstances, the wine will become Aser. So Rabbi say, so therefore, all the Gemara just points out, it's all three cases were necessary, because had the Mishnah just stated one of them, you would not have automatically inferred the others. So Rabbi say, the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, now we're going to further qualify the Machlokes of Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Machlokes B'shal Sid. We'll say the Machlokes in the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is only in the case of Osai of Sid. Sid means a plaster lid. A plaster lid. Ava B'shal Tit. But I will say if at the end of the lid was made of clay, Divrei HaKol, everyone will agree, Kadesh She'iftach V'yigov V'yogov. We'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Bachar says in Rabbi Yochanan, we'll say the Machlokes is as follows. When do the Rabban of Shimon Gamliel disagree? That's in a case where the lid is made of plaster. We'll say, what's the chap with plaster? The chap with plaster is technically, you could bore a hole, and you could reseal that hole, and technically what? Make it look like new, so that the penetration would never be detectable. However, Rabbi say, when it comes to a lid made of clay, so apparently, again, if you puncture a hole in clay and then try to refill it, then what, Rabbi say? Apparently, the part that was punctured and resealed will not look the same as the rest of the lid. So everyone agrees that in the case of a lid of clay, the only have to be choshesh that the Akum tampered with it when? If the Jew was gone long enough for the Akum to actively pop off the entire lid, take the wine, put the lid back on, and reseal the lid once again. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Machlokes b'shal sid, we'll say third line down from the top of Rashi, b'megufa shal sid, shi levana. Shalavano, the Chayshi Rabbanon Lishatuma, the Chayvan de Lavanu, Lo Minkar Ben Chadash Liashon. So we'll say, apparently, again, when it comes to plaster, which is white, so apparently, again, you could puncture a hole and refill it, and apparently the sealant is not as detectable. The Rabbanon feel you could do a good enough job refilling that hole to make it look like to cover your tracks. Aval B'shel Tit, Rashi says, Shu Shachar B'tchilas, Rabbanon, clay. Rashi says it's black in the beginning. Black doesn't mean black. Black means dark. when it comes to clear about say, which is dark in its beginning, and then again as it dries, it becomes lighter. Vafapi shu nagov eina malbin ad yom o yomayim. Divri akol lo chashin lishtuma. Listen to this. So Rabbi Baruch says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that even the Rabbanan will agree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that in the case where the lid was made of clay rabosai, everyone will agree that if it's a clay lid, the Yaakov, if he's going to partake of the wine, is not going to puncture a hole in the lid. Why? Because that type of tampering is easily detectable. Why, rabosai? Because it's good to know, because the Maisa, when you puncture a hole in a lid clay, if you try to refill it with clay, it's going to take a day or two till the clay dries in order to look like the rest of the lid. So in a case of a clay lid, everyone agrees that you only have to be choshesh for tampering if the Jew was gone long enough to pop off the lid, take the wine, put the lid back on, and reseal the lid. Where's the machlokas? Only in a case where the lid was made of plaster. In that case, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, still, the amount of time that the Yisrael has to be gone is the amount of time to pop off the lid, take the wine, reseal the lid. The Rabbanan say, no, it's long enough. Only it has to be gone long enough for the time to puncture a hole, take the wine, reseal the puncture. Aren't you choshesh for the fact that it's going to look different? Apparently not with plaster. Plaster is always white. Therefore, if the Akum is talented enough, he could seal it up in a way so as to avoid detection. So the Gemara says, "Meisvei, Mori Zakasha, Amr Reb Shimon Gamliel LaChachamim, Falo Stumo Nikur Bein Milamala Bein Milamato." So we'll say, listen to this. This is amazing. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says to Rabbanan, "Rabbanan, I don't understand. The Akum is not going to be able to cover his tracks, right, Rabbo Sai? Because here's what's amazing. Here's what's amazing. A little bit of Talmudic detective work here. I will say, if you're the Akum and you go ahead and you puncture a hole in the lid." You take the wine, you reseal the hole. That's fine, even if you're good, even if you're really good, and you can make the top look the same, there's going to be one issue, Rabbi, which is what? Then when the Yisrael opens up the lid, Rabbi, you're going to be able to see that, you're going to be able to see on the bottom part of the lid that somebody punctured the lid. Rabbi, how can you see it? Because remember, in order to go ahead and make it look uniform, you're going to have to smooth out the top. You can smooth out the top of the lid, but you can't what? You can't smooth out the bottom unless you're popping off the entire top. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says to the Chachamim, no self-respecting Akum is going to go ahead and just simply, remember again, I will say, the assumption is a person only does something wrong if they feel they can get away with it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says to the Chachamim, why would the Akum rely on puncturing the lid where even if he could smooth it out on top, he can't smooth it out on the bottom? So the Gemara says, Valo stumo nikar bein milamala bein milamato. So we'll say, if you say that ultimately again, the machlokes is in the case of a clay lid. That's why the Rav Shimon Gamliel says to Rabbanan that ultimately again it's going to be detectable both from the top of the lid as well as from the bottom, meaning the inside of the lid. However, but if you say that the machlokes ultimately again is in a case even when it's made of plaster. Bishlama lamata yadia. Ultimately, again, about say, I understand if you say that it's going to be detectable on the inside of the lid, in other words, on the bottom of the lid. However, again, elami lamala halo yadia. But ultimately, again, about say, when it comes to plaster, there's a way to what? There's a way to make it at least non-detectable from the outside of the lid. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Reb Shimon Gamliel hu delo yada my kamarabanam. But in reality, Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't know what the shita of the Rabbanan is. Rav Shimon Gamliel himself is asking the Rabbanan, what is your shita? V'achi kamar lehu. Ibishel tit kamar. So Rav said, this is actually a conversation between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan. And Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying to the Rabbanan like this. Ibishel tit kamar. So Rabbanan, I understand your shita is that if the Jew is gone long enough for the Akum to bore a hole into the lid, take the wine out and refill the hole, then the wine is going to be problematic. Rav Shimon was asking Rabbanan, can you please clarify or qualify your shita a bit more? Ibishel tit kamri. So, what type of lid are you referring to? If you're referring ultimately again to a lid made of clay, then what? Situmo nikar bin milamala bin milamata. So if you're talking about a lid of clay, so that's not going to work. Why? Because the Akum's tampering is going to be discernible, both on two levels. Both from the top of the lid, when we say the top of the meaning, the part of the lid that's on the outside, as well as from the part of the lid that's on the inside of the barrel. In other words, the Akum's deception is going to be easily discoverable, both from the outside and the inside. The Ibishel Sid. And further, Rav Shimon says to the Rabbanan, rabbis, I don't understand your shita, because if it's a lid made of plaster, then what? Nehi de la mala lo yediyah, lemata miha yediya. So again, Rav Shimon Yosef Rabbanan, and if it's a little plaster, it's true. The Akum could cover his tracks for Rebbe. Say, where? On the outside of the lid. Why? Because you could smooth it out. But we'll say the one place where you can cover his tracks is where? On the inside. We'll say, in other words, when the Yisrael pops open that lid, he's going to see on the bottom of the lid, that's one part of the plaster. Manishtana plaster, azam, mikala plaster. We'll say it's going to look different, right? Because remember, again, the rest of the plaster is going to look one way. The plugged part is going to look different. So I'm saying, we'll say, I don't understand. Even if you hold that by a plaster lid, the Akum could go ahead and cover up his penetration on the outside. He's not going to be able to do it on the inside. It's a good kasha. But Rabbanan, so we'll say again. So remember, even if we go with the idea that, okay, the clay lids are off the table, everyone's going to agree that with the clay lid, the only way the Akum is going to potentially tamper with it, Rabbanan says, how? To pop off the lid in its entirety, take the wine, put the lid back on, reseal the lid. So now, Rabbanan, you want to say, but he feels he can get away with a plaster lid, because the plaster, you can smooth it out, make it look great. That's fine on the top part of the lid, but on the underside of the lid, his tampering will still be discernible. So what says, what did the Rabbanan say? Watch this. The Rabbanan, Kivim de milamala lo yediya, lo masik adaite da'apich v'chazile. Oh, we'll say, the Rabbanan say, the Yisrael is not going to look for tampering on the underside of the lid. In other words, we'll say, once the Yisrael sees that what we call the external part of the lid looks fine, there's no reason to think that what? Then he's going to do any type of under lid inspection. In other words, if the top of the lid looks like it hasn't been tampered with, then there's no hapamina that he's going to look at the underside of the lid to examine it for tampering either. The Gemara says, Inami, zinnin dechalim. The other possibility is what? Look at Rashi. Zinnin dechalim. Mismale hanekev milamata kilamala chalim. As I will say, sometimes just the way the plaster settles is that it looks uniform. Even though, again, obviously the Akum can't actively smooth it out, right? On the underside of the limb, sometimes it just, the way it dries, it just looks uniform. So when you put both of these things together, so Rabbanan essentially say, the only time a person would have a Havamina to inspect the underside of the lid is when? When it suspects something, right? When it looks like something's been tampered with. But if the outside of the lid looks totally uniform, you don't have to assume that the Yisrael is going to inspect the underside of the rim. And furthermore, again, sometimes, bless you, sometimes just the way the plaster dries is it looks uniform. Good, Rabbi, say, Amar Rav, Rav, it says, Halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel, Hoyil utnan stama kavase. Rav says, the halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, which Rabbi says what? Remember, so we'll say, so first of all, we have two pieces of halacha. So first of all, there's a piece when the amazing part about this, Rabbi says, there is a piece of this sugya where everyone agrees. So what does everyone agree with? What's the piece everybody agrees with? Everyone agrees with the concept of mirsas, which is that if the Jew leaves the Akum alone with his wine, but the Akum does not know when the Jew is going to reappear, and in the Akum's mind, there's the possibility that the Jew could just pop in at any moment, then what? Then the wine is mutter. We'll say no one disagrees on that principle. Where's the machlokes? The machlokes is if the Akum knows that the Jew is going to be gone, and the Jew is gone for the amount of time where something could happen, then they have to be choshesh that what? That something happened. The machlokes is how long is enough time for something to have happened? Did Rabbanan say enough time ultimately for the Akum to make a hole, get the wine out, plug the hole? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says enough time for the Akum to pop off the lid, right? Get the wine and reseal the lid. Now comes along Rava, and Rava says, how do we know this? Hoyil utnan stama kavase. Because what's the have a stam mishnah which supports Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What's the stam mishnah? Here we go. This nun, this is very exciting. This nun, Haya Ochel ala Shulchan, Vinyach Login ala Shulchan, Login ala Dulbiki, Vinyach Viyatza. So we'll say, here's the case. I invited the Akum to my house to have a meal. And what happens? There was a flask of wine on the table and a flask of wine on the cupboard. Vinyach Viyatza. And I leave the Akum alone in my home and I leave. Masha ala Shulchan Aser. So we'll say, again, what's on the table is Aser, right? That's Aser. Mashallah dulbiki mutter, but what's in the cupboard, Abosai, is mutter. Now, why are we assuming that what's in the cupboard is mutter, Abosai? Why are we assuming that? Because the Maisa, again, I didn't tell the Akum how long I'm going to be gone for. The Akum was, and I didn't invite him to make himself at home. And therefore, the Maisa, again, whatever wine is in the cupboard will be mutter. V'mamar lo, having mazik v'shosa. But if I tell the akum, make yourself, I don't pour yourself some wine while I'm gone, then what? Af sha'aladul biki aser. Ultimately, again, even that which is in the cupboard is going to be aser. We'll say this is a stam mishnah. Again, this is different. This is a repeat of our mishnah. We'll say, but it's another stam mishnah, a mishnah without attribution. So the Gemara says, furthermore, chavios psuchos asuros. In a case where ultimately, again, I invited the akum to make himself at home. Bipashtos, again, even the open barrels are going to be aser. Stumos mutaros, but the closed barrels are mutar. As long as what? Kadesh yiftach v'yaguf v'tigov. We'll say the closed barrels are mutter as long as what? As long as I'm not gone for the amount of time that it would take the akum to pop open the lids, take wine, and reseal the barrel. So we'll say, what do you see? We'll say this is a stam mishnah, which is a mishnah without attribution. Whose opinion does it reflect, Rabbi Osei? It reflects the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which is that if you leave the akum alone with the wine for the amount of time that what? That it takes to pop open the lids, take the wine, and reseal it, then the wine is going to be aser. So Rabbi Osei, you see from here that the mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. It's a stam mishnah in the context of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and therefore, again, that's how he passed it. Which the Gemara says, oh, okay, pshita. So, fine. Rabbi makes sound like he has such a big announcement that it is a stam mishnah that reflects the view of Shem Gamliel and the Alchemist of Shem Gamliel. Okay, we got it. It's all a stam mishnah. I mean, what's the big chiddush over here? I'll tell you what says the Gemara. Ma'ad v'teimba kul Rabbi Shem Gamliel katanila. I met a flood, says the Gemara, that maybe this is not a stam mishnah. Maybe this is a mishnah authored by Rabbi Shem Gamliel. Rabbi will say, and therefore again, it's obviously just reflective. I want to be clear. The stam mishnah, Rabbi will say, is considered to be one of the most authoritative types of Mishnayos. Why? Because if no one's arguing on it, so then we assume that what? Everyone agrees with it. If everyone agrees with it, then that's the halacha. So we have a stam Mishnah, which espouses a view which we know to be Rav Shimon Gamliel's view from our Mishnah. So therefore, again, which would then tell us that the halacha was Rav Shimon Gamliel. To which the Gemara says, well, I might have thought that maybe this is not a stam Mishnah. Maybe, in fact, this is a Mishnah authored by Rav Shimon Gamliel. To which the Gemara says, Ma'udetema, kul Rav Shimon Gamliel katani lo. I might have thought, look at Rashi. Ma'udetema, ha bava da haya ochel imo ala shulchan, seifa de milsa de Rav Shimon Gamliel hu, v'katani lo, v'hachi katani masnis Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, kadeh sheyiftoch v'yigof v'tigor. We'll say, I might have thought that maybe the Mishnah is missing a phrase. And what's the phrase? At the end of the Mishnah, should have said, Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, kadeh sheyiftoch, what's the lashon? Kadeh sheyiftoch v'yigof v'tigor. In other words, maybe it's not a stam Mishnah. Maybe it's the Mishnah, and there should be, the end should have an attribution to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Kamashmalon, no. Kamashmalon, ultimately, again, that halacha lemaisa, it is in fact a stam Mishnah, and it is a stam Mishnah which reflects the view of Rav Shimon Gamliel, which then tells us that what? That the halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now watch this. We're going to end with this. So here's what we've got so far. Let's see. So what we have over here is like this. Halacha lemaisa, if there's mirsos, if the akum doesn't know where the Jew is when he's coming back, the wine is mutter. If the Jew says, I'm going to be gone, he tells him I'm going to be gone, and if he's gone long enough for what? For the akum to pop off the lid, take the wine, put the lid back on, and reseal the lid, then what? Then the wine is going to be usser. So we'll say, so now we've established halacha pasuk Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now watch this. There's going to be something amazing. V'chi mi'achar dekayim alon kavasi Rav Shimon Gamliel, delo chayish lishesuma. So we'll say, now that we've established halacha pasuk Rav Shimon Gamliel, that what? Lo chayish lishesuma, we'll say, means that we're not koshish, that the akum is just going to bore holes. So we'll say, just so you should understand something. It takes a lot less time to bore a hole, get wine, and replug the hole, than it does to go ahead and crack the seal, take off the lid, and reseal the lid. Right? Rav Shimon Gamliel's amount of time is much longer. It's much longer. So now that we've established that the halacha of Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the akum doesn't just bore a hole in the lid, take wine, and reseal it for fear of being discovered. If he's going to tamper with the wine, then what is he going to do? He's going to pop off the lid, take the wine, and reseal the lid. Now that we've established that that's the halacha, furthermore, again, I will say, so we're not choshish for shtuma. We're not choshish that somebody's going to bore a hole just to take wine. Now watch this. Furthermore, Rabbi Eliezer, the lochayish leziyufa. I will say, remember again, Rabbi Eliezer? Of course you do. Lamed Aleph Amad Aleph Rashi teaches us. What did Rabbi Eliezer say? That I will say, it's true that an akum will go ahead and take the wine of a Jew, and will tamper with the wine of a Jew. But what is he not going to do? We're not choshesh for ziyufa de tircha. Ziyufa de tircha, we'll say, means that what? The Akum will go ahead and partake of the wine of a Jew when what? When it's easy. When it's easy. However, if it requires effort in any way, he's not going to do it. So we'll say, so therefore again, in a case, if the barrel's open and it's just sitting there, fine. But if there's a seal around the barrel, he's not breaking any seals. That effort is not worth it. So we'll say, so when you put these two shitos together, you come out with something amazing, which is number one, I'm not choshesh that Akum just breaks the lid, just punctures all the lid. That's number one. That's in accordance with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Furthermore, again, and Hilchos HaKavasit Rabbi Eliezer, Delochayish L'Ziyufa. Furthermore, again, I'm not concerned that ultimately, again, an Akum is going to break a seal. If the wine is easily accessible, then fine. The Akum will partake of it. But if it's going to require more effort, and what? The Akum is going to have to break a seal. That he's not going to do. So we'll say, if that's the case, you put those things together. So if that's the case of us, when you put all of this together, then what? Then why not just entrust our wine with an akum? In other words, we'll say that lemaise again, essentially, when you put all of this together, there's really no chashash that the akum is going to do anything to my wine. Number one, because I don't have to be choshesh for a puncturing of a lid. And the truth is, I don't have to be choshesh for any type of tampering if there's tircha. So pretty much, as long as my barrels are sealed, then what? Then what? I don't have to be worried about the Akum doing anything to my wine. Yet, halacha lemaisa, we are still very reticent to deposit our wine with an Akum. But based on these two shitos, again, on both sides, the shita of Shimon Gamliel, that I am not choshesh that the Akum is going to puncture a hole in the lid, and I will say even stronger, the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that an Akum does not go through tircha de ziyufa. He'll go ahead and he will tamper with the wine, but only if there's no effort involved. Once there's any little bit of effort, then lemaisa, again, I'm not choshesh. That's the case of both sides. Why can't I actively, lechatchila, deposit sealed barrels of wine with the Akum? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Mishum Shaycha. We'll say, what Shaycha? Look at Rashi. Mishum Shaycha. Nakav Dak Ma'od. Last Rashi in the Daf. Nakav Dak Ma'od. Shubi Megufas Chavis. Lios Reach Hayayin Yotzei. V'yeshlochu Shema Yikdach Sham B'miktas V'yitom Inaz. Because we'll say, listen to this. Every barrel does have a hole. We'll say, what's the hole? I guess, I don't know what the technical term for it is. But a vent. Like an air hole. We'll say, so apparently again, I guess that there are certain fumes or certain gases that build up in the barrel of wine. And there needs to be a release. So there's like an air valve release. We'll say, but that air valve release is large enough for what? For the Akum to technically have access to, either again putting his finger in there or putting a straw in there or something. So because there is still this access point, Rabbi Osai, as far-fetched as it may be, the access to the wine is still possible, even without what? Cracking open the lid, and even without going ahead and what? Any kind of zif, any kind of tircha yisera. That's why we're choshesh. Rabbi Osai, we'll just do one more line, then we'll stop. Amar Rabbi Osai. So therefore, again, because of that shaykh, because of that air hole, that's why, again, we don't go ahead and deposit the wine ultimately with Yaakov. Rabbi Osai, this is very good, so very quickly. Amar Rabbi Osai says as follows. Zona, Ovedas Kochavim, V'Yisra Musubin Etzla. Rabbi Osai, this is an amazing, I just have to end off with this Gemara. So listen to this. Zona, Ovedas Kochavim, Rabbi Osai, again, and also Dr. Elman's grandson just left, so we could do this part now. Right, so now it happens. Also, I saw Ari, you owe me one, because you would have had a lot of explaining to do. Right, what's a zona? All right, go ask your grandfather. So it says, you know, right, Amarava, right, Amarava, zona over this kochavim v'yisom esuben etzla. So we'll say, watch this. You have a zona over this kochavim. We'll say, so this is very important. A non-Jewish zona v'yisrael, Jewish clients, mesuben etzla. And they're all sitting together. We'll say, now again, it's their wine, they're having a little, pregame, right? So what happens? So they'll say, so they're going ahead and they're having the wine with her. So we'll say, watch this. So what's the Shaila? We'll say, this is an amazing Gemara. Shari, the wine is permitted. Meaning, we're not choshesh that they allow her access to the wine to make it Yayin Esach. Why? We'll say, this is amazing. Nehi detakif luhu yitzra da'avera. Yitzra type of ayin, yitzra di ayin esech lo takif lo rabosai. Because why? Because even though these particular Jews obviously are going to allow themselves to go ahead and give into their desire for inappropriate relations, we don't assume that they're going to give into a desire. We don't assume therefore that they let their wine become yayin esech. Rabosai, you understand the Musar in this Gemara? Just because a Jew sins in one area does not make him a rasha. Just because he has a weakness in one particular area does not mean that ultimately, again, he's not makpir on anything. Rabbi say this is an incredible, incredible yisod. Because Rabbi say this here in and of itself is the power of a Jew. Rabbi say we all have areas in which we are weak in. And we all have areas in which we just simply give in to our Yetzihara. But I will say, just because I'm weak in one area does not mean I'm a Rasha. And just because, again, I make mistakes in one area does not mean that I can't be vigilant in other areas. So I will say, sometimes people think that because I messed up in one area, therefore, again, I'm an Isvar, right? That's it. I'm spiritually compromised. I'm done. It's not true. It's not true. These Jews might unfortunately not be strong enough to stand up to the Yetzer in the realm of illicit relations, but that doesn't mean that therefore they're going to drink Yayin Nesach as well. One thing as an you'll say, but you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You're inconsistent. I will say, we're all hypocrites. We're all inconsistent. None of us are perfect. We're good in some areas. We're not good in other areas. And here's the beautiful part. The Ribono Shel Olam says, I embrace your hypocrisy. I embrace the inconsistency because you're human beings. So these Jews ultimately, again, might be about to engage in arayas, but that doesn't mean ultimately, again, that they're going to allow their wine to be yai nesach. However, on the flip side, and with this we'll really end, zoni yisraelis va'odei kochav mesubin, but if you have a Jewish harlot, a Jewish zona, and eating together with ovdei kochav and with her non-Jewish clients, then chamra aser. Then the wine, in fact, does become aser. Why? My taima, hoil v'zeila alayhu basraihu gereira. So we'll say, ultimately again, since these men look down on this woman, therefore they assume, the same way they take liberties with her, they take liberties ultimately again with her wine as well, and therefore the wine will be aser. Sharp esam Hashem. Welcome back, Yehuda. Shalom aleichem. Good to have you back. Shalom aleichem. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up over here tomorrow. I will say, just a reminder, benching. That's all.